Blog Talk Radio.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409. Well, I saved my pennies and I saved my dimes. Giddy up, 409. For I knew there was...
with Talking Cars in downtown Chicago, Washington, D.C., and way out there in New York. What a show we've got for you today. This is the pilot, if you will, for Talking Cars with our host and co-host joining us today, both Randy Payton and Brian Armstead at the Washington Auto Show, January 22nd through the 31st. And actually, Brian is at the show. So to all of our friends out there, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, we love you. You are the reason we do this show. Let's get right into the show today. A shout out and thanks to our friends at Beach Boys. Let's see if we get them up and running. Hey, what the very first guest in our show today, our co-host, Randy Payton, I met a few years ago online, tried to get together at the Urban Wheels Award, and he's always doing something with us, if you would, on or offline, TV, radio. Randy Payton, how are you this bright, fine day?
I'm great, Steve. Thanks for having me on this show, our very first weekly radio show with Decisive Media.
Well, it doesn't get any better than that. And Randy, for all of our friends out there, let's hear a little bit about you. What do you do? What have you been doing? What is Decisive Media, and what is Urban Wheels?
Well, you know, Steve, I've been in the auto industry for probably about 25 years. And I started out, as the editor of the Washington Afro-American newspaper and decided to start an auto section that I distributed to a magazine. And since then, actually in July 1995, we launched the first national publication of 500,000 inserts in the newspapers around the country. That included black newspapers as well and Hispanic newspapers and mainstream distributed publications, the Washington Post, Detroit News and Free Press, Miami Herald, New York Post, et cetera. And so from there, I just want to introduce Brian, my co-host, with me for a number of years. Brian?
Hey,
Brian's
Randy.
Standing right there.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Steve.
Good
Hi,
morning,
Randy.
Brian.
So I'm coming to you live from the D.C. Auto Show. Everything is popping down here. You got a lot of folks with smiles on their faces, a lot of excitement about the new cars for 2016 and beyond. We've got new car introductions. We've got concepts, a lot of stuff going on. If you're in the Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland, Richmond, Philadelphia area, well, the Philly show is going on as well. Come on down to the Washington Convention Center and just look at all of the vehicles that helped contribute to the 17 million cars, and nearly 17 million cars, that were sold in the United States this year, cars, trucks, and SUVs. It's quite a day. It's beautiful. Quite a day to be in downtown D.C. Good to be on the show as well.
Well, thank you, Brian. We want to do a shout-out to this year's president, John O'Donnell, and his staff who are helped put this show together. And every year it's a different staff, and it's a lot of work. Gerard Murphy, also Isabel Garcia, Ed Mullaney, Joe Koch, and Kathy Tyke. Hope I'm pronouncing their names right. And how many people do you think they're expecting there at this show this year, Brian? Any idea? Are they going to have 50,000, 60,000, 100,000? What do you think?
Well, let me toss one more name into the mix before we get to some stats. Barbara Pomerantz, she's the real glue of this auto show, working closely with Winata, Bonnet Pomerantz, Bonnie Murray. They handle just every, and Bob Yaffe from the Hargrove Corporation, they handle every nut and bolt and every inload and download and upload that, you know, that's necessary to get, you know, a couple of hundred cars on a show floor. It's kind of tough to put numbers on the attendance this year because, quite frankly, today will be the first major day of attendance. As you know, we have just recovered from Snowmageddon. Yeah, it was crazy. So last weekend, the show officially opened last Friday, which was a wash. Saturday and Sunday, we were buried in 30 inches of snow. So the show officially opened on Tuesday, but it was very difficult for anybody to get out of neighborhoods. The metro was slow to run, just got up to speed fully yesterday. So while they had a decent crowd on Tuesday, it's been a little slow for obvious reasons. But today, there's no reason that you should not come down. They're expecting maybe 10, 15, 20,000 people just today and tomorrow alone. So it's an exciting time. Get down here early, folks. If you want to get in and out of the cars, if you want to get in and out of, I encourage you to get down here early because, you know, there's always a five-year-old that's going to be trying every button inside of every vehicle. So you want to get down here before the five-year-olds get down here and see what new what new car, truck, or SUV suits your fancy.
And I want to remind people, we had this happen last week at the Chicago Boat and RV Show. You had a couple of lost kids, and folks, you're bringing your kids down there, and they're under, I'll say, 10 years old. Take a business card, put your name and telephone number, put it in their pocket. It happens every year, and that's just to kind of help you out, or put a little wristband on them. And also,
yes.
Brian, can you tell us exactly where is the location of the show this year? Where is it physically in D.C.?
It's at the Washington Convention Center, which is the only place large enough to hold a show of this scale and magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
And the Washington Convention Center is in Northwest D.C., just north of Chinatown, and it's between 7th and 9th Streets Northwest, and New York Avenue is the main border street for the entrance to the Walter E. Washington, who was the first president, first mayor of Washington, D.C., the Walter E. Washington Convention Center. I'm sure he felt like president because this is a presidential city, but he was the first mayor of the city, and after he passed, they named the convention center in his honor.
Yeah, and they tore down the old center that was across the street, and Washington, D.C., the main reason why D.C. needed a larger venue, being one of the largest conventions held in the city. I know I was, years ago, I was actually an advisor with the show to help it improve attendance and media attendance and coverage, as well as get new manufacturers to do major launches at the show. The problem with the show was that it was held during the Christmas holiday break when most of the politicians and everyone were home on out of town on break. And so D.C. was able to move the dates to January from that Christmas holiday schedule. So that allowed it to get more consumer attendance, more senators, congresspeople, and as well as media to attend the show. So they have grown over the years in terms of attendance and also moving to a larger venue.
We had the same thing happen in Chicago, to where we moved it closer to February 14th. Valentine's Day, and literally now over a million people in attendance. Mark Bielek, the executive director of Chicago Auto Show, a shout-out for him. We're going to be doing a show with Mark in the next week, the making of the Chicago Auto Show, if you will. So, and
well, that's
special
it also because, you know, L.A. moved its dates to November. And, you know, remember before Chicago and L.A. were conflicting, held around the same time until L.A. decided to move its show to late November.
Well, Brian, what can you tell us about some of the events? Have you had a chance to go inside yet? What are some of the things you're looking forward to, and what are some of the dealers who are going to be participating? Because I believe the Washington auto dealers, like Chicago, also send their people down, and maybe you can tell the folks how that works and who attends and who is down there showing the cars.
Well, again, you know, I gave you some numbers of 10 to 20,000. Honestly, I don't know the full numbers for this weekend, but it is a crowded show floor. Had a chance to walk around for about an hour and a half before we came in here to do the show with you. I was so excited I lost track of time, and I was like, oh, my God, I got to go to this radio show. There's so many really hot cars. The dealers represented include all of the WANADA members, the Washington Automobile New Dealers Association members, as well as NAMAD members, the National Association of Minority Automobile Dealers. So they combine to put the show. It's actually not a show, but you also have, you know, Hispanic auto dealers, Asian American auto dealers, African American auto dealers who come down to market their wares. And let me tell you, Steve and Randy, the wares are impressive this year. One of my favorites at the show is the Buick Cascada, Buick with a luxury convertible. It's got a convertible top that's insulated. It closes in about 15 seconds. A 200
wow.
horsepower turbocharged four-cylinder coupled to a six-speed automatic transmission. It's based on an Opel European chassis. General Motors, the parent company for Buick, also owns Opel in Europe. So you better believe that this car is going to be a road carver. And it's just gorgeous. GM is really striking big this year. The Cadillac CT6 is another one of my favorites. Johann Donaitian, former Audi executive and Infiniti executive, now heads the global communications and marketing and outreach platforms for Cadillac, and he's determined to make Cadillac the mark that it once used to be. Back in the day, like in the 1930s, if you had a Cadillac, that was on par with having a Rolls-Royce or a Bugatti or any of the fine coach-built automobiles of its time. 12 and 16-cylinder Cadillacs today sell for millions of dollars. These cars are extremely valuable. On the show floor today is the Cadillac CT6, and it's just the fourth one of their expanding lineup. Now, they have this new terminology, this alphanumeric terminology. So CT6 is the flagship at the present time for the Cadillac lineup. It's a lot of lightweight construction, aluminum and carbon fiber and all kinds of lightweight materials, titanium. Three powertrains are going to be offered so far, 2-liter four, a six-cylinder, and then you'll have a twin-turbo V6 and expect a V8 model at some point in the future. And, of course, you can't have a luxury car these days without an all-wheel drive option. They're trying to compete with the Audi A8 and with the Mercedes-Benz S-Class with the BMW 7 Series with this car. Initial reviews are positive. I haven't driven it yet, but some of my journalist colleagues say, hey, Brian, this car is a solid effort from Detroit, Michigan. Cadillac is on their way back, folks. Now, in terms
well, we're
of,
looking at the touch right. We're looking at the touch screen right now, Brian, and it looks just like even better than the Tesla. The rear seat infotainment area, the rear camera mirror, the wireless phone charging. This looks like the bleeding edge of technology for Cadillac. And we'll just say to those other companies out there, here comes Cadillac again. They were right in pitch with the Piercero, which was a $12,000 car back in the 20s and 30s, and Cadillac was right beside them. So that touchscreen with touchpad seems to be the big play right now for that Cadillac CT6. It's absolutely amazing.
Have you dropped by Tom Moorhead's booth? Tom Moorhead is the owner of BMW and many of Fairfax. He also has a new Rolls Royce dealership. And I talked to Tom. He's in Florida right now, working on a new. He told me that recently at a Harvey Davis in D.C. Rolls Royce.
I'm sorry, Randy, you're breaking up. I'm not quite able to understand everything what you said. Now,
I'm up here in Martha's Vineyard, and the reception is not always good. Tom Moorhead, a BMW. And Rolls Royce.
But he's part of a consortium of BMW dealers, so he doesn't specifically have his shop here, but he's part of the inclusive BMW effort. Now, Rolls Royce does not have a dedicated display here at the show. But some of you may not know, Thomas Moorhead is the first African-American Rolls-Royce dealership on the planet. So that's quite an accomplishment when you think that Rolls-Royce is still the pinnacle of coach-built automobiles. I mean, these cars sell from anywhere between $325,000 for a Rolls-Royce Wraith to $600,000 and $700,000 for a fully optioned Rolls-Royce Phantom drophead. So these are hand-built cars. They have wood construction and wood interior accoutrements. If you have the money, Rolls-Royce will build it for you from mild to wild. Your wallet dictates what your Rolls-Royce will look like. So, yeah, a lot of money on the floor, a lot of power on the floor, and a really collaborative effort from all of the Washington area automobile dealers, the Pohankas, the Darvishes, all of the different groups have come together to put together a really first-class show. No, this is not Detroit or Paris, but it's a first-rate show, and it's a good opportunity for consumers to really get up close and personal with the automobile industry. So I encourage everyone to come on down today or tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day.
We're seeing two dealers out there. One is Porsche of Arlington at 3100 Jefferson Davis Highway in Arlington, and the other one is WBM mm-hmm. of Arlington. Is that the one we're talking about, WBM of Arlington, or what is the name of the Rolls-Royce dealership again?
WBM of Arlington is actually a used car dealer. I bought my Mercedes S-Class at WBM. It's a fine used car dealer. Their cars are clean, but they are not part of the new Automobile Dealers Association, as far as I know. But Porsche of Arlington, you know, world-class service, world-class cars. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a Porsche? But again, you know, there's. I don't want to give any specific attribution to a dealer, because this auto show is about all of the dealers in the WANADA umbrella. So, you know, if I leave one out, you know, I don't want to do that. But just understand that the dealers network is fully represented here, including the you know, the several that I named, and we've got a great floor. If I may, I'd like to talk about perhaps my favorite car on the show floor, besides the Chevrolet Corvette, which I'm just dying to purchase one. But believe it or not, one of my favorite cars is the Toyota Prius. Now in its fourth generation, the Prius has been totally redone. Now, the Prius used to be a nerdy car that people drove in HOV lanes across the country to get special privileges and, you know, be able to get in the HOV lanes. And you get great gas mileage, 50 miles a gallon and all of that, but it wasn't an exciting car to drive. Toyota has totally revamped the Prius. I had it out on a racetrack out in California at the Naval Air Station, former Marine Naval Air Station, El Toro. They had a racetrack Gymkhana course set up for us. And I got to tell you, it felt like a 3 Series to me, because I was out there for several hours just carving up the cones, keeping off of the cones. It was that precise. And Toyota Prius has built a road-capable hybrid that, by the way, gets 56 miles a gallon in the city and 52 miles a gallon on the highway. Folks, remember that hybrids get better fuel economy in the city, because that's what they're designed to do, is to become urban MPG machines. So hats off to Toyota.
I'm sorry. I think one of the people don't understand now, again, is that these $40,000 hybrids are down in the range now. Even the Toyota 2016 Prius C, I'm looking at the screen, starts at $19,560, and you're so right. The estimated MPG in the city is 46 miles per gallon at $19,560. That's a heck of a price. It is right in there with every other car in the industry. It's a hybrid.
Now, you may be looking at last year's numbers for fuel economy, because the numbers are well above 50 miles a gallon now for the 2016 models. So the Prius 4 Touring, the Prius 4 Touring actually has, in the Eco Edition, actually gets 58 miles a gallon in the city. So you may be looking at 2015 numbers. I'm telling you, the 2016 is, and the 2015, they're light years in difference in terms of construction and build You know, it's just not the same car anymore. Now, Toyota has a live demonstration here at the convention center, where you can sign up, you get leave a copy of your license, and you take the Prius out on a route around Washington, D.C. And Mazda has a similar type of driving hands-on experience with the Mazda cars. The CX-3, for example, is one that a lot of people love to drive. It's a very capable, small crossover utility vehicle. If you want to have some fun, go down to the basement level where most of the imports are located, and you have Camp Jeep. If you want to drive up steep hills and across rocks and all that kind of stuff, then Camp Jeep is for you. A lot of fun for all the family. Who doesn't want to drive up a steep hill and come barreling down the other side with the vehicle totally in control because of hill descent control built into all the trail-rated capable Jeep Cherokees and Patriots and Renegades and all of the other fine vehicles that they build as part of the Fiat Chrysler group here at the Washington Auto Show.
That's correct. Truly a great accomplishment, because I know years ago we were always discussing how do we get consumers to test drive vehicles from the show in Washington, D.C. Even the New York Auto Show used to have that challenge. You know, how do you get people to drive around a crowded city and test drive vehicles? But I see they have achieved that and reached that goal. One of the other things, Steve, we want our listeners of the show to know that we'll have more detailed information on the new launches at the D.C., Chicago, L.A., and Detroit show on our Facebook page at Urban Wheel, facebook.com/Urban Wheel Awards, as well as featured in some of the magazines that will be hosting the show, Prince George's Sweets magazine, and the Minority Enterprise Advocate magazine is also published out of Arlington, Virginia, and some of our other media partners. So we'll be able to provide consumers with more information, not just about cars, but also credit financing, servicing of the vehicles. We plan on also engaging consumers to contests and competitions to really judge how well consumers have educated themselves, not just on the product, but the process of buying a car and making sure that they're happy with and satisfied with their monthly budget, the car that they purchase, et cetera. So there'll be opportunities for consumers also to engage and to be judged on their experiences.
Steve, did you know that most of the buying decisions for new automobiles are made by women?
Well, that's the way it is in my house, so I'll go right along with that one.
So, for the ladies out there, don't be afraid to come on down. I mean, you make those decisions ultimately. You've got to keep that home happy. So come on down and see what vehicles have manufacturers built that really have a woman in mind when they design these vehicles. I'm here with my colleague, Anastasia Rochelle. She's done a lot of riding drives with me over the past couple of years. And when she gets into a vehicle, Anastasia was just in a Buick Encore, the Buick Verano, and the Buick Regal. She looks for specific things that we don't look for. You know, where does my purse go? Where can I put my cell phone? Does the vanity mirror work properly? Does it reflect on my face so I can do my makeup? Can I see out of the back window? Does the seat go up and down? Is the steering wheel comfortable? Can I reach the pedals? Does the center console have enough for me to put my small satchel in the center console? Anastasia, you just want to give any thoughts briefly about the Buick? I know I'm throwing you on the spot here. But you were in the Buick Encore, and it was your first entree to Buick, an American car. You're typically a Japanese, Korea, Kia, Toyota type of lady. What were your thoughts on that Buick Encore that you said in this morning?
Well, usually when I sit in a car, I look for several things. I like when the car looks, even if it's not an expensive car, I would definitely look for features that make it look expensive on the inside. So good fabric, that it doesn't look too plasticky. So these are features that are very important for me. The dashboard, the way it looks, that it's not too small, that I could see all the features right, that, of course, the seats look nice. As Brian said, I'm always looking for enough space in for me to put my things. And the trunk, when I opened the trunk, I saw that there's plenty of space, which was important to me because I know that women are all about grocery shopping. So trunk space is definitely very important in cars.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. That's the Russian car expert over there, Anastasia Rochelle. So keep the women by your side as you come down, and women, keep your man by your side, because ultimately you're going to make the decision on what your family is going to buy and what the couple's going to buy. So just a lot of fun for everybody. They have a couple of very unique displays here as well. One's called the Art of Motion, where they're actually painting automobiles. They're painting a BMW. They painted they're right now they're painting a Mini. They're just creating art on rolling art, so to speak. They have some lifestyle luxury vehicles. Now, these are probably contributed by companies like WBM of Arlington, because they do have some Astons and some Bentleys and Ferraris, but I'm not sure that they're sponsored by Juanada itself. I think that's just a display that was leased by some exotic car dealers, and they have those on display. So you can see exotics here. You can also see some clubs. Cadillac Club is here, the Mustang Club, and you haven't lived until you see a bunch of vintage Cadillacs and Mustangs all in a row. It's quite an impressive sight. Who doesn't want a Mustang? Who doesn't want a vintage Cadillac? I know I certainly do. I mean, even a lot of the young guys now will get some of these old Cadillacs and put their 22-inch wheels on them and killer megawatt stereos. And you know, they even find the beauty of these some of these vintage automobiles. Mercedes-Benz is here, Jaguar's here, Toyota, Ford, Alfa Romeo. Have you ever seen an Alfa Romeo, folks? Most of you have not. Back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and part of the 80s, the Alfas were a very strong presence here in the United States. Beautiful Italian design. You just haven't lived until you've seen the beauty of an Italian car like the Lamborghini or Ferrari. But Alfa is back with their 4C sports car and their Giulia sedan. The Giulia sedan and performance guys did the highest speeds ever recorded at the Nürburgring, which is a high-speed test track in Germany. So, and Alfa Romeo is part of the Fiat Chrysler Alfa group. So they're owned by Fiat, and Chrysler and Alfa Romeo have benefited from the cash infusion and the technology infusion of three major companies working together. So some good stuff down here. Every manufacturer is here, except for some of the exotics. But again, those are represented by some private dealers. And it's just bring some comfortable shoes, folks. Because you're going to need
to Yeah, Brian, auto shows are all about education, even if you're not in the market to buy or thinking about buying a car now. You may in the next 6 months to a year, but education, being informed, that's what auto shows are really for, or really meant for. And they're entertaining. Just bring your family down and view the cars and all the other types of exhibits that they have. Are they having the hands-on contest this year? That was one of the genius ideas that Robert Pomerantz came up with.
They certainly are having a hands-on contest. I can't remember, and Stacey, do me a favor, look through the program guide. The hands-on, it should be in the index there. I believe the hands-on contest is being sponsored by Hyundai this year, so I'm not 100% sure. I heard it, we walked right past the people, we kind of chuckled at them because you've got five people remaining. Basically, the concept of the contest is, you know, 20 people started touching this automobile, and if you lose contact with the automobile, then you're out. The person who's the last man or the last woman standing when the show closes tomorrow, who is still touching the automobile, will win that automobile. Now, there are five people still out there touching that automobile. Those five people are determined to win this prize. What happens tomorrow at 9 p.m. if those folks are still, all five of them, touching the automobile? Well, they'll have a drawing. Each person will get a key, and the key that starts a car will be the winner. And the four runners up, so to speak, will receive cash prizes and, you know, goodies, swag bags with lots of goodies, maybe, you know, Bluetooth accessories or headphones, things of that nature to let them know that their efforts, while not grand prize worthy, were certainly worthy at that. And so you have people out there with peanut butter jars and orange juice trying to stay awake. it's a sight to behold.
I remember they had the consumers had to decide the car, and the last person to stay won the car. And they would eat stuff to make them very offensive stuff, folks. That didn't work out too well.
Yeah.
Well, this is an event that started in 1999 all the way up to today, and this year's car is the 2016 Honda Tucson SE GDI four-cylinder. I'm reading this right off the screen. It's a $24,000 MSRP vehicle. This is not an inexpensive car. Bluetooth, hands-free, phone system, 5-inch color touchscreen. This is a heck of a vehicle, and a special thank you to Hyundai for bringing it out again with the hands-on contest.
Yeah, now you said it's not an inexpensive car. You know, as cars go today, Steve, it's a very inexpensive car. I mean, you know, I test drive a new car or two every week, and sometimes I get behind the wheel, and my daughter, Eden, who's fully grown now, she's 23, but we've been playing this game for the last, you know, I've been riding automotive for the last almost 20 years. So for 20 years, my daughter has jumped into cars, and we guess what the price of them are. And every year of her, you know, as she gets older, the prices keep going skyward. So today's $24,000 car. Yesterday's $24,000 car. This today's $50,000 car. And I'm like, oh, my God, this car is $50,000. Where do people get this money? But, you know, like I said, the number of units sold nationally last year exceeded 16 million. So it's a lot of folks out there buying new cars. But that also helps to explode the used car market. So you've got a lot of quality used cars out there. Now, BMW offers free maintenance on their cars for the first couple of years. Kia and Hyundai have 10-year, 100,000-mile warranties on their cars. There's some quality cars out there now. There are no cars that are built today that I just say, you know, this is an absolute pile of you-know-what. And that's you know, over the last couple of years have only been the recent times that I've been able to make that kind of statement. The Chrysler 200 from 5 years ago, absolute piece of garbage. The Chrysler 200 for today, one of the best small cars out there. So, I mean, everybody's stepping up their game. If you're not in the game, you're out of the game. Manufacturers realize that you cannot build bad cars anymore and expect American consumers to stay on your bandwagon. It's just not going to happen.
Well, we're just about coming up on halfway at our point in our show right now. We're going to take a short break with our co-hosts, Randy Payton and Brian Armstead. We'll be right back with Talking Cars in 59 seconds. This is Steve Tomaszewski. A special shout-out to the upcoming show in Chicago, the Chicago Auto Show. We'll be right back with Talking Cars.
Yeah, little GTO.
Okay, you're listening to Talking Cars in Chicago with Randy Payton and Brian Armstead. And Brian is at the D.C. Auto Show right now. Randy Payton's out in Martha's Vineyard. And a special shout-out to Mark Bilek at the upcoming Chicago Auto Show. We're going to have First Look for Charity coming up. And, folks, you know, all the money goes directly to the charities. Not one dime goes to anybody within the organization. So please come on out to any one of these shows. And, you know, some of the sponsors out there, Kelly Blue Book, Toyota, State Farm, based right here in Illinois, Parking Panda. You know, we're going to go through a couple of those people, Auto Trader, if you will. There's just a ton of people we want to say a thanks out there to, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, the Auto Alliance, Global Automakers, NADA, thanks to them, Mobility Talks, Military Tribute Day brought to you by Audi. And as we always say, folks, if you can't stand behind our troops, I suggest you stand in front of them. Let's bring our guests back in right now, Randy Payton out in Martha's Vineyard and Brian Armstead back at the D.C. Auto Show. And, Randy, we're back live. How's the phone working now?
Well, it's okay. Just keep in mind I'm driving and I've got a lot of tall trees around. So can you hear me well?
And it's outstanding. Let's see if we can get Brian back online. Brian, are we back to you at the D.C. Auto Show?
Absolutely. Doing great. I got a smile on my face. Whenever I get around automobiles, I get a really big smile on my face. So I'm in car heaven today.
Outstanding. Now, we're talking about some of the sponsors, and these are the people who pay for the shows. As you noticed on Talking Cars or any of our shows, Talking RVs, Talking Boats, we really have just like a giant infomercial talking about the horsepower, the vehicle itself. As we walk around these cars, it is at the actual auto dealership. And then on the weekends, we go to local events, such as in Chicago, the Autobahn Country Club in Joliet. We had Mark Bassewan last week talking about the new Garage Mahals and the real estate for sale, started at only $200,000 for a lot, and you're right on an F1 test track. We go out to Road America, Mary Lou and Hay, George Brugness up there just north of Milwaukee. Michigan International Speedway will be at this year, Gingerman Speedway, all the way down to Talladega, Daytona, where it's coming up in just a few weeks. Then back out to Laguna Seca, and in just 3 weeks, we'll be at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, walking around the track, talking cars. Now, Brian, I believe you said you had a list of people who are help sponsoring the show today. Who are some of the sponsors down there at the D.C. Washington Auto Show?
Well, I've got a list of the participating dealers, and it's quite a list. I had no idea that there were so many automobile dealers in the Washington metropolitan area. But I'll just give a sampling of.
Okay, and Brian's phone just cut out, so we'll get back to him. Now, one of the things coming up, Randy, while Brian calls back in there in a few minutes, we'll get him back on the line, and that's just modern technology. What has been your experience? And I believe you also had another show just a week or two ago in D.C. Is that right? Wasn't there another show you were affiliated with just a few weeks ago in the D.C. area?
Yes. Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to my son. He's one of the, we have a nonprofit, the Emerging Diversity Education Fund, and we've over 300 young people have actually gone through our program, our internship and scholarship program, and my son is one of them. He was trained in the automotive, and he has an exhibit down at the Washington Show. So if you get a chance, go visit his exhibit at automotiverhythm.com. He also has his own website and all of that. So a number of young people have gone through our program who are either working at other publications or in some area of communication in the auto industry. Some are actually engineers and working in the industry. That have gone through our internship program. So he had a big event, a big reception at the D.C. Auto Show last Wednesday.
Okay, so
that's
I'm going
Mac
to...
And Rawlins. Yeah.
Okay, and what is the name of the, again, Automotive Rhythms? What is it?
Automotive Rhythms, yes.
And we're going to have to see...
some of the things that he learned working with me over the years. We used to not only test drive the new products, but we've done a lot of, back then we also had partnerships with subsegments in the industry, in the motorsports industry, SEMA, the Special Equipment Marketing Association. Back then, very few minorities actually attend one of the biggest events in Las Vegas, the aftermarket conference they have every year in November. And we took a couple cars that the manufacturers gave us and customized them with various custom partners and had on display at SEMA and other car shows. In fact, we took one of the first Jaguar S-types. Jaguar at the time was
getting
into modifying their cars, and they were like, and we worked with E&G Classics. They cut off the top of it and built the first model velvet top, custom top on the car, you know. And we were trying to really show Jaguar that there's a huge marketing opportunity because over 20,000 Lincolns and Cadillacs in African American in the urban market are actually done this way, you know. And so that's a huge marketing opportunity. They were like, what did you do to our car, you know. But everywhere we went, Jaguar dealers and consumers, everybody wanted to buy the car. So eventually Jaguar got into the custom market. But our goal was not just to customize cars, but actually build partnerships between SEMA members, the custom aftermarket, and the OEM, the manufacturer of the car. Because we found out that a lot of consumers, minorities, particularly African Americans, have the highest negative equity rate, meaning that they tend to owe more on the car than it's actually worth. And a lot of that comes from buying parts that are not a part of the value of the vehicle. So when it's time to trade it in, you know, the car, you know, you're not it's not counted in the trading value of the car. So their ability to buy a new car, to trade a car in and buy a new car, they have a longer cycle. So we wanted to help improve that by educating consumers, by customizing, but also talk about the pros and cons of doing so. So it was more of an education project for the consumer and also for the manufacturers to get involved. If you want to sell to the urban market, you've got to get into the accessories and custom market because they're high, you know, consumers in terms of purchasing these products. And it's best that these products be a part of the original manufacturing of the vehicle. That was part of the reason, and the reason we partnered with
you. That's right. We got Brian back in on the show right now. And it just makes so much sense. Some of the new shows coming up for Talking Cars will be, what is the process? How does it work? And I said this to Brian earlier, this is an expensive car. And I think one of the things we forget about the industry is that we are so jaded about what the price of a car is. Mom and Dad in their 40s and their 50s and their 60s remember their first new car 20 years ago. And cars were $10,000 and $15,000, and then they had this thing called children, and then all the new cars went away for some of them. So it's really kind of an education process of saying, yeah, it is a $20,000 vehicle, and as my friend Ryan Rohrman says from Schaumburg Honda, you know, over 40% of the vehicles today are leased. So maybe they cannot afford that $500 or $600 or $700 payment for 3 or 4 years, but they can certainly lease that vehicle. And it's really a lease with option to buy. And I think that's one of the things we're going to create an entire show for future is explaining financing, even the people today who can't get over that hurdle of I want to own it. And if they just think about it's a rental with an option to buy, test drive the car for 3 years. I mean, you rent a hotel room, right, Brian? I mean, why not at least try leasing a car? What are your thoughts about leasing, Brian? Now that we have you back.
Well, I've got my leasing expert sitting right to my left here. Anastasia leased her Kia Rio because she wanted to get as much car for the money as she possibly could. A young professional just starting to get her career off the ground and burgeoning. She doesn't have $800 a month, like you said, to put into a BMW or Lexus.
Well, let's get her on the phone right now, Anastasia.
Absolutely.
Let's ask you the right question. Why did you lease that car? Why did you lease it?
Well, I've looked at several models before I leased the Kia Rio, and Kia Rio really stood up for me because of the amount of features that I got in the car and also the looks. I like cars that look slick, that are modern, and that are comfortable to drive, of course. I'm sort of a speed demon, so a car has to keep up with me. And for me, really, leasing was the best option. As a single young professional woman, I was looking for a car that I wouldn't have to worry about for the next 3 years. So that was one of my biggest objectives about getting a brand new lease. knowing that it's going to be covered by insurance and warranty, and that I wouldn't have to worry about fixing it in the next 3 years. And obviously the option of getting a brand new car at the end of my lease was definitely one of the perks of leasing for me.
Well, tell them why you're here today.
And I'm here today because my lease is actually ending in May of this year. So I'm here at the auto show to look for a new car for myself. And Buick is definitely one of the competitors right now. I wasn't even looking at Buick before, but as Brian showed me the car, it looks fantastic. So this is something to think about.
Well, and I think
Steve, also as home-based businesses grow, home-based businesses are growing. Small minority, well, just businesses at home, and that's a great option. Also, if you own a business, a lot of business owners don't know that it is best to actually lease a car if your business involves any type of driving. It is better to actually lease the car through your business, and that becomes a business write-off. And we try to teach consumers to make them more aware of that. You know, on my 50th birthday, everybody said, why are you buying a car? I actually leased, I always wanted me a Cadillac. And I leased the Cadillac XLR. Didn't lease it. I bought it. And I resold it a year later and lost $20,000 on the car. And then I upgraded to the XLRV, but I leased it. And I leased it for 2 years, but I didn't lose any value because I didn't own the vehicle. And became
Steve,
a business write-off.
Steve, I think that's the beauty of the whole Decisive platform of what Randy has been doing over the past 25 years. Not only
do we
teach consumers about the new automobiles, but we teach them about automotive safety and lifestyle events surrounding the automotive culture, motorcycles and camping and off-roading. But also the financial aspects and the business aspects of the auto industry. How many minority dealers are successful in this industry? What are the best lease rates? What's the best plan of action for young professionals? What's the best plan of action that Randy just described for business owners? So Decisive is an encompassing platform that teaches all of these different things. I was a safety expert for the company for about 10 years. Before I moved into the automotive reporting side of it, so we cover a little bit of everything with the Decisive platforms.
But I got to go back and I got to put that phone back in Anastasia's hands. Anastasia, why the lease? What drove you over the edge to say I'm going to lease it? I'm throwing you under the bus here. Why did you lease it versus to buy it?
I think it was partially the money aspect. I felt like the lease offered me a cheaper option to have the car right at that moment. We walked into the dealership, and the offers that they were giving me for lease was just much better for me, putting zero down and then having low payments every month was just money-wise a better option for me. And also the fact that I knew that after 3 years I can walk in and ask for a brand new car, and at this point in my life, that it was what I was looking for, to get a brand new car in the end of my lease with brand new features and not think twice about the car that I just returned.
Talk about a couple of those features on the Buick that you found attractive.
The
applications and all.
At the application, I mean, the Buick right now, some of the things that I found in the dashboard were quite amazing. They have some apps installed that you can use, such as Pandora or the Weather Channel, that by the click of a button, you can just go straight to that application.
Or the press of a touch screen.
Yes, with the touch screen. And, of course, the regular features of the backup camera, which is something that is very important for me.
And also the Buick, a lot of the General Motors models have 4G LTE now, so you actually have a wireless hub. So everybody in the car, let's say you're part of a carpool, everybody can get on your wireless network as you traverse up I-66 or 270 or Route 50 here in the Washington metropolitan area.
Or the 405 in California.
there you go, 405. You're going to be on it for a while, so why not stay connected? And you can get work done. Great for business owners.
And I think and Anastasia, thank you so much. And Randy, this is something that I can see really trying to help the young people. What people don't understand is they're going to buy a $5,000 or a $10,000 pre-driven vehicle, good, bad, or indifferent. What none of them sit down and do, as my friend Dave Ramsey would say, is budget out their car for the next 1, 2, or 3 years. It's going to need tires. It's going to need brakes. It's going to need something. It's going to need a battery. You don't know that. But you have to put that money back in escrow somewhere. Then all of a sudden, if you buy a set of tires today for $500 or $600, which is kind of normal, or anything else, a set of brakes for all four with rotors, $500 or $600. That's an extra $50 or $100 a month. And guess what? You have a 10-year-old car. A 100,000-mile car today for $10,000 is almost the norm. And people aren't saying, yeah, but I can't afford the $24,000 vehicle. Yes, you can. And Anastasia, we can't thank you enough to look at it from not only a younger person's view, but a female's view, saying, I put the key in the car and I get to go. That's important.
Yes, and it's definitely leasing is the, I feel like it's a better option if you're single, if you're a woman, if you don't want to think about changing tires,
right.
If you don't want to think about the car breaking down. This is just a peace of mind for me, as I feel, because I know people who bought used cars and they're struggling with those. So I feel like it's just
a great deal.
Peace of mind for somebody.
They got a great deal, right? Anastasia, and now they're going, yeah, but now, hey, it's in the shop.
Yes, I mean, right now for my Kia with zero down, I'm paying $258 a month, which is fantastic price. Right now when I'm looking at cars, I see that most manufacturers are trying to match that price for leased cars.
And I think
a lot of consumers don't know, too, that it's about your credit rating. You know, once a car becomes used, the actual interest rate is in the double digits. A lot of consumers think they're going to save money by buying a car that's 2 to 3 years old, but actually they're spending more because of the higher interest rate, whereas a new car,
that's right,
interest rates are in single digits. And we try to
I'll dispute that, too, because a lot of times
the newer cars are much safer as well.
I'll dispute that, Randy, because if you're a member of a credit union, as I am, I'm a member of the State Department Federal Credit Union, and when I purchased my S-Class, it's a 2003 S-Class, I got 1.9% because my credit union was offering that to folks who had decent credit. So if you shop around, you can don't go into your local Johnny on the spot used car dealer and let them come at you with a 14% interest rate. Be smart about it. There are a lot of online e-bankers now that will give you money for an automobile. There's certain requirements, of course, but your local credit unions are a great place to secure financing. And a lot of car dealers have financing programs that are a lot more attractive for used cars than one might expect. So the key variable here is to open your mouth and ask for a better rate. Let them know that you're going to go to the credit union. I will take a better rate from the credit union if you can't get these numbers where I need them to be. And magically, they'll come up with that same 1.9 or that same 2.9% that you received from the credit union. So it's important for consumers to be educated. It's important for them to say, hey, I demand a better deal. I've got a 750 credit score. I've got an 815. I demand a better rate. And even if you have a 600 or 500, you still can negotiate your rate a little bit better. If you have a history of paying your bills on time, even if your credit's a little dinged, most auto manufacturers and businesses, car dealers will work with you because they want you to walk out of the door with that set of keys in hand. So you got to open your mouth, folks, and ask. To get those
That's
good
true,
rates.
Brian. More dealers are realizing that it's more important to have a loyal customer who is satisfied with their purchase and their monthly payment. Because consumers really want a good monthly payment within that budget. In fact,
absolutely.
Dealers advertising the fact that you got 5 days to bring the car back. And I know the internet started over 25 years ago. And for a long time, manufacturers and dealers were still doing drive the car off the lot marketing. Get them in there, get them off the lot, and the consumer's not happy because they bought a car that may not fit into their budget. So they're not satisfied. They're not happy. So are they going to return to that same dealership, if the engagement wasn't that great? No. Dealers are becoming more sad, and working more with the consumers.
And one of the great things that we want to point out to everybody out there, it looks like we got another show to talk about talking financing and a special segment coming up, because everyone is different. Everybody is this age, this gender, this place in their life, and maybe that's all that they want to do. Now, remember, only 40% of vehicles are leased today, so the other 60% are still buying. Not a problem. But what are they doing? They're taking in the car they've had for 3, 4, or 5 years, and they're trading it in. And guess what? They usually put $5,000 down, $10,000 in their trade. They're buying a $30,000 vehicle. They're buying another $32,000 vehicle. They're just washing through. But I think I see a new segment coming up, talking financing, Randy. What do you think? All about financing automotives. I think we got a new special coming out.
Let me say this too, Steve, because this show is going to really help to increase and contribute to the new annual sales car volume. Back when we started, Brian, remember over 20 years ago, very few minorities covered the industry. So therefore, over 25% of the market, 25% of the buyers, wasn't getting education. They wasn't getting consumer information on the industry. So we started on a mission to bring in more minority journalists into the industry. We recruited those current journalists. We introduced them to the industry.
That's right.
Brian and others got involved and became engaged with the Washington Automotive Press Association and auto shows. We started covering issues that is specific to this market. And I believe that, and I've always said it, and I predicted it over 20 years ago, that the more automotive consumer content reaches this market, it's going to increase the annual sales volume by 5 million. And I believe that's the reason why the sales volume right now is up to 16, 17 million a year, because there are more minorities practically covering the industry and providing the education and information, and people attending the shows. We help bring people to the show. You know, that's another part of our mission. You know, I work with a number of auto companies around the country, New York, Miami, D.C., Detroit, to help them attract more minority journalists covering the shows. Because the more of us who cover the show, the more of minorities are actually going to engage in the show. Therefore, that's going to lead to more education and more purchases of new vehicles. That's
well,
the goal of
you
the
know,
show.
As we said in the beginning on Talking Cars, and we want to say a special thank you. We've got about 3, 4, 5 minutes left here on the show. And it's just saying, this is what it's all about, folks. If you have a question on Talking Cars, you can call in. And we would really like to encourage that to everyone out there. And on next show, 909-202-8714, and say, hey, I've got a question for Randy, or I've got a question for Brian, or even a question for Anastasia. That'd be great. That's what we're looking for, is that interaction. Coming up in February and March, you'll have Talking Cars, that's TalkingCarz.com, live on the website, to where you can actually Skype in and ask the expert, or at least ask another person who's been there, a person like Anastasia. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly. Ask Randy, ask Brian, and some of our special guests. We're going to have the folks on from Road America. We're going to have the folks on from Las Vegas Motor Speedway. We're going to have auto dealers on, finance managers on, and service managers. People from the Motorworks Group here in Barrington. Hear from the Bob Lorman Group. As we go out to Audi in Arlington, Alexandria Toyota, you know, all the people who are out there, Alexandria Volkswagen, all these people are out there saying, let me help you. Let me help you make the right decision on your next vehicle. You know what? It may be a pre-driven car. You just don't know that till you get back down to the dealer, shaking hands, drinking coffee, going, are you going to help me? And I think, Randy, what you've done over the years, and you too, Brian, you've really tried to help educate and be a friend to these people, going, here's some ideas for you that work for me. Maybe it'll help you. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We look forward,
education,
Steve.
Yeah, look forward to becoming a continued, very talkative presence on this show.
Well, we want to do a shout-out and say a very special thank you to our friends out there today. Randy, and some of the events, Randy, that we're going to be talking about in the future, what do you think will be some great topics that will get people charged up, not only the dealers and the sponsors, but what do you think is going to charge people up? Because we're going to be blasting all this out to social media. On Google, maybe you can talk a little bit more about the social media part of Talking Cars and Randy Payton.
See, we'll be having consumers give their opinions on the different products. my whole thing is this, and then we at the annual Urban Wheel Awards, which the 20th annual is coming up in January of 2017, Detroit Auto Show, is consumers are able to actually vote on the car, their choice of the car of the year, you know, and but to vote, they have to be educated. So what we do is we have about 15 independent auto journalists who cover and write and drive just about every car there is. They pick the final 9 vehicles. You know, there are 3 in every category. Urban Car of the Year, the Urban Truck of the Year, and the Urban Green Vehicle of the Year. And there are 3 finalists in every category. Okay? So what we've done is last year we opened it up to consumers to be able, and we put all the videos and reviews on the internet and social media. And consumers were able to watch the video, to review it, do background, do their own, you know, education, and to vote on their favorite vehicle in each category. Okay.
Okay.
And that, and out of all the 9 vehicles, there's 1 vehicle choice of the year that's voted on by consumers. But in order for them to vote, they got to be engaged. By being engaged, they're being educated. That educates more women, more consumers, and that's really what it's about. We want informed, educated consumers. And with that education, as we move on to future shows, consumers will be able to participate in contests, and sweepstakes, and call into the show. Maybe we'll get a sponsor to have a vehicle, because in our vehicle of the choice a year, the final consumer is able to participate and win a new car.
Well, the logic is to get them involved. And I think one of the things you just came up with is we'll ask 5 or 10 people to call in with a question about the recent purchase, like Anastasia just did. And we'll talk about Hondas. And in the Arlington area, you've got Brown's Arlington Honda. You got Aristman Honda. You have College Park. You have Pohanka Honda. You have Sheehy Honda. Honda of Tyson's Corners. Sport Hondas. Rosenthal. Hersons. And also our friends at Mercedes-Benz of Arlington. And these people who just made these decisions or thinking about, I think, are key. And, Brian, we can't thank you enough. And am I saying Anastasia's name? Can you say that again so we get her name correctly on the show?
Anastasia Rochelle.
Okay, Anastasia Rochelle. Thank you. And Brian, let's bring you back on. I think you've hit on what I would say the catalyst of Talking Cars, and that's getting people involved, calling into the show or having them being with you and talking about their experience. And it doesn't matter the dealer. It's the mindset of why they made that decision. Well, what are your thoughts about that, Brian? What would you like to talk about in the future?
Well, you know, I travel all around the world test driving new automobiles, so we certainly can talk about some venue-oriented test drives. I was recently, as I said, out in California test driving the Prius. There'll be other exciting test drives coming up in the future, you know, perhaps with BMW or Mercedes or other brands. So that's what we do. We travel the world, mostly domestic, but we have international venues as well. And the manufacturers put us together. They give us a bunch of cars and go out and let us sling them around in the mud, so to speak. So I think folks would enjoy. And then also we have the lifestyle component where, you know, we stay at some 5-star resorts when we're on these press events. So you certainly put those two together, and I think it would make very, very entertaining radio.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of car travel, Steve, and as well as one of the magazines, a Minority Enterprise Advocate magazine, is a business publication. So in that, their interest is fleet vehicles. So we'll be covering fleets, green vehicles, and things for the market.
Wow.
Destinations is one of our host partners, is a travel magazine. So we'll be doing car and travel there, and the Prince George's Suites is a lifestyle magazine. So we're going to take the lifestyle angle from there as well. We got Heart and Soul, which is a health publication, Cars and Health. We trust you, Steve. We have a lot of topics to cover that fits almost anyone's lifestyle.
Well, one of our new shows coming up is called Talking Golf. We're going to be not only at the PGA Superstore with Wendy Pellegrino from Comcast, but also at Top Golf here. And we're taking some of our dealers' cars, driving up to the show. And then we have Talking Foods with Ken Brunson, who was in Chicago on his show for over 15 years. Brittany Payton, no relation, Walter Payton's daughter, was doing a show with her for 15 years. A lot of synergy going on here. And our friends back at Priceline with Talking Travels. So we see it all blending together. But the key here is when we talk to people at a show and what they just went through on Talking Cars, we talk about all of our shows. And, Brian, we did a show last year with a company down at the Autobot Country Club called Hooked on Driving. And what we did is we just asked them to put on their Bluetooth while they were test driving the car, and we used their iPhone as a remote camera as they drove around the track. Now, we actually are able to tap into the cameras on the track if they have them and follow you around the track. So I see some exciting things coming up for whoever it is, Mercedes, Porsche, Audi, Cadillac. We love Cadillac. My son has a CTS. We love Cadillac. Honda, I mean, you name it, Toyota, Nissan, all of these companies out there. But you get in the car, and Brian, put on your Bluetooth, and we'll listen to you as you drive around the track. What do you think about that?
I like it. Sounds good to me.
I'm Talking Cars. Well, as we always do, we always try to end the show on an extremely positive note. I'm watching my friend here online, Richard Rawlings, on the interwebs, on his show, Fast and Loud. Eric Kaufman out there as they climb up Pikes Peak. A shout-out to our friends out there. Here, and one of our new friends who just came on, a new sponsor, and it's called The Stuff. And The Stuff will clean your windows, your upholstery, everything. A shout-out there to our friends at The Stuff. They'll be one of our new people coming in. And all of the dealers that are out there. So let me start back with you, Brian, and then over to Randy. Let's do a shout-out back to Anastasia and say thank you. And some of the ideas, again, for our upcoming shows that you'd like to talk about. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, again, it's just been a great opportunity for us working with Randy over the years, and look forward to a continued successful collaboration. I love the concept of your show, and it's just a good mix. I love being on radio, and I love talking about cars, so it doesn't get much better than that. So I just look forward to there's so many things we can talk about. We can talk about safety. We can talk about aftermarket purchases. I wrote a column called Road Gear where we look at different accessories. So many cool things we can do.
Well, Brian, we can't thank you enough. And to say we look forward to you being on the next show at Talking Cars. And thanks for being on our show today. We're going to put you in
thank
the
green
room and go back over to the new host of the show, or however you'd like to say it, Randy Payton. Gosh, what a privilege it is to have you on the show here today. We appreciate that, everything you've done, and out in Martha's Vineyard. I hope you can come back here on the interwebs and be on this show again, as we started with little or nothing, maybe having one listener to over 2 million viewers in less than a year. So this show will be streaming on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere out there for people to do and listen to shows and call in where we listen to you. So what are some of the new shows and ideas that you're thinking about coming up with, Randy?
Well, Steve, first of all, I'm glad to have you. And also, I want to thank Brian, too. He's been with the Decisive family for quite some time, and he's always been our radio expert and now new car expert. So we look forward to coming up with some exciting shows to help people not only discern, be more informed and educated about the new products that are out there, but also on leasing, vehicle and travel to engage people, motorsports. Hey, we also do motorcycles. So but D.C. is one of the largest motorcycle markets, and it's growing like in leaps and bounds. Oh, and on four wheels, we cover RVs as well. The whole RV lifestyle. We work with the African American RV Association, and they have chapters in every state, including Alaska and Hawaii. That's a whole other market that many people don't hear about as much, and the lifestyle choice and opportunity. A lot of folks want to retire, buy an RV, travel the country, So there's a whole lot of culture out there. It's not about race to us. It's about covering the various cultures, and we all love cars. We call it the car culture. And I look forward to working with you, Steve. Thanks.
Well, a special shout out to your son at Automotive Rhythms. He's got a great. I just subscribed to his email newsletter. Just came out to come through it, and some of the shows that we already have in queue, we're going to send you that on a link. not only Talking Cars, Talking Boats, BOATZ, Talking RVs, RVZ, Talking Restaurants, Talking Travel. These are all great things. But today's show, which is being brought to you by Randy Pape, who we are so honored to have on the show today and look forward to many, many, many more shows as we expand into the internet world of TV and radio. And finally, Randy, I know you want to do a shout-out to a couple of your friends and to all our soldiers and sailors out there. These are the men and women protecting our country so we can be on the air today. What would you like to say to all of our men and women defending our country? Go ahead, Randy.
Well, first of all, I'm a service-disabled veteran, and I served in Vietnam. And I'd like to give a shout-out to all my Marine Corps buddies, especially those who work at the Marine Security Guard battalions around the world in some very dangerous markets, because I know it. I lived it. And also to all those in the military and the current veterans, my heart is there. You know, once a Marine, always a Marine, you know, simplified. That's me.
Simplified.
People don't know that about me, but that's where I got my training, you know. So I want to say thank you, give a shout-out to all my friends and family, all my supporters and sponsors in the auto companies and my writers. You know, we got a lot of female writers, Mary Chapman, Frank Washington, Warren Brown, you name it, Brian Armstead. Thanks.
Doesn't get any better than that. My friend, Randy Pape, a very special thanks again. We're going to be in the green room here in just a few minutes talking with our folks, so hang in there, guys. And a shout-out to all of our friends. This is Talking Cars. Hey, it's Steve Tomaszewski. What are you doing this weekend? Let's talk cars. Call into our next show at 909-202-8714. And our new shows, Talking Boats. We were just at the Chicago Boat and RV Show last week with the Ted Nielsen. We saw the new Cobalt boats that came out. We saw all the new Crests, great new boats that are out there. Went right over to the RV Show. Our friends at General RV, Josh Cooper in Ohio, he just transferred from Huntley, and that brand new Fleetwood that's out there today. So we've got a new show starting in March, Talking RVs, with General RV and Camping World. Great things coming up. Our friend Ted Brunson, who was with Brittany Payton for all those years on the Chicago show, Taste of Chicago. And we also work with Rolling Thunder. Now, her mother, by the way, Connie Payton, helps sponsors with us, Rolling Thunder, where I do the show every year on Memorial Day with 500,000 motorcycles plus. And we ride from the Pentagon parking lot down to the Vietnam Wall. And we don't talk about it a lot, but it's something we do to show support. To my three sons, Yippee Yappee Yahoo, United States Air Force, how you doing? Hey, thank you for listening to our show. Remember what we always say. If you can't stand behind our troops, I suggest you stand in front of them. I'm Steve Tomaszewski. Godspeed.
Turn it up cause it's getting heavy. Wild, wild West Coast. These are the girls I love the most. I mean the ones, I mean like she's the one. Kiss her, touch her, squeeze her bun. The girls afraid she drive a Jeep and live on the beach. I'm okay, I won't play. I love the bay just like I love LA. Venice Beach and Palm Springs. Summertime is every day. Homeboys banging out. All that ass hanging out. Bikinis, zucchinis, martinis, no weenies. Just the king and the queenie. Katie, my lady, look at here, baby, I'm all up on you, cause you representing California.